WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The city of Chicago says warming centers will be made available this coming weekend as bitterly cold temperatures move in, and that includes Chicago Public Library and Park District locations, as well as the City Colleges of Chicago. All locations will be open during operating hours. Chicago Police Districts will also be available as warming centers 24 hours a day. Daytime highs could hover in the single digits Saturday and Sunday. Evening wind chills are expected to dip below zero. The National Weather Service also predicting periodic snowfall through the end of the week. A commission formed in honor of an unarmed Black woman who was murdered last year in her Springfield area home has unveiled its 26 calls to action. My colleague Mawa Iqbal reports the Massey Commission was named after 36-year-old Sonia Massey. Massey was shot by a former deputy in Springfield after she had called 911 for help. The committee's action items largely focus on police reforms like establishing uniform background checks and psych evals for potential hires. Commission member Sante Massey is Sonia's cousin and addressed the county board.
The calls to action aren't just recommendations. They are a promise that this county can be different. My cousin deserved that. Your families deserve that. And our community is asking you to help us build it.
While the commission is no longer meeting, Massey says it will host listening sessions for the public to offer feedback. Red Kettle donations for the Salvation Army are down in the Chicago area this year. My colleague Michael Puente reports the Army says inflation, layoffs, and people just not carrying spare change could be reasons why donations are down. Brian Duell is a spokesperson for the Salvation Army North and Central Illinois Division.
We have seen a fairly steady decline in Kettle donations, which is concerning because our Kettle campaign goes to fund many of the programs and services that we operate all year long.
Duell says each Kettle has a QR code so people can donate digitally. The Salvation Army's overall goal is to raise $12 million through all its fundraising efforts, with $1 million raised through the Red Kettles. At a time when movie theaters nationwide are struggling, the Music Box Theater on Chicago's North Side is preparing to double its screen count. My colleague Courtney Kippers reports the historic Southport Theater has announced it will add a third screen to its location in Lakeview, and it has acquired the Heights Theater just outside Minneapolis, Minnesota. Music Box's co-owner and CEO Brody Sheldon said the growth is a bit of an experiment.
We seem to be doing something right here, and Chicago has given us feedback that whatever we're offering, they're happy to receive. So we're hoping that the third theater, we can offer more of that. And then in Minneapolis, we can bring this there.
And if things go well, Sheldon says she sees further Midwest expansion. You're listening to The Rundown. The new company that provides health care to nearly 30,000 people in Illinois state prisons has a disturbing track record. Centurion Health took over health care for the Illinois Department of Corrections this summer after a multi-year deal with a different company fell through. Centurion already serves close to a dozen other state correctional systems, and it's been accused of ignoring and misdiagnosing patients, leading to serious illness or death. Chicago Sun-Times reporter Caitlin Washburn has been digging into lawsuits filed by people who are incarcerated, and she sat down with Erin Allen, who is host of our Prison Cast program, to share what she found.
So you reviewed more than 100 lawsuits filed against Centurion Health in almost a dozen states where it currently or previously worked. Before we get into the specifics, what are some trends that you noticed?
Yeah, I learned a lot reading through these lawsuits. And while each case had its own complications and own devastating details, I learned about a recurring problem that seemed to happen over and over again. People incarcerated have a health condition. They complain about it. They say they're in pain. They're noticing something weird about their body. It's ignored. They're not taken to see a doctor. Or if they are, there's no urgency in treating their health condition. And then it just gets worse and it turns into complications that could have been avoided and deaths that were also preventable.
In all of the research you've been doing, is there a case that stands out to you as an example of what incarcerated people allege that they face when they're treated by Centurion?
Yeah, as you can imagine, there were a lot that will stick with me for a while. But one that is just particularly harrowing is a man in Vermont who was being held in a prison. He was actually detained before a trial, so he hadn't been convicted yet. But he had been there for a couple months, and he started to struggle to breathe. And he just was coughing a lot. And he went to see the doctor, which was Centurion staff at this prison. And they diagnosed him with COPD, which is a serious lung disease. And they gave him a nebulizer, which is what you use to treat something like that. Yet they never checked his airways, according to a lawsuit filed by his family. And his condition got worse. The nebulizer didn't seem to do anything. And he was finally taken to the prison infirmary. And according to the lawsuit filed by his family, a nurse told him to stop acting like a child as he was struggling to breathe. And he eventually passes out and doesn't wake up again. And according to the lawsuit from his family, the first people to ever check his airways are the medical examiners doing his autopsy. And they found a cancerous tumor pressing on his airway that suffocated him to death.
Wow, that is tragic. The previous healthcare provider for the Illinois Department of Corrections, Wexford Health Sources, also had a documented history of improper care. You talked to some advocates about this. What did they have to say about why the system is not working?
Yeah, so Centurion is not alone. As we know here in Illinois, Wexford has this long history of providing substandard care too. And the advocates I spoke to said, you know, Wexford, Centurion, this is a part of the business model. This isn't some fluke. This is something that is a part of these for-profit private companies and how they do business and how they provide healthcare. They get these lucrative contracts. And then advocates say they turn around and they do everything they can to line their own pockets and keep their margins fat while also denying people healthcare.
Did Centurion or the Illinois Department of Corrections respond to the reporting that you've done?
No, they did not. I sent multiple requests for comment and they have not been answered.
Okay. And I know that Centurion is on a temporary contract in Illinois right now. Do you have any sense of what's next? Are they going to provide health care here in the long term?
That is another big question mark here. They've extended the contract into January with no clear explanation as to what's next, if there's going to be another company or if it's going to be Centurion in the long run.
Weather cloudy and cold today, high in the upper 20s, and then tonight cloudy and cold, a chance of snow, a low in the mid 20s, and for Friday, cloudy, a chance of snow in the afternoon, and a high in the low 30s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.